I really admire my next guest. I've read lots of books he's written, including Why People Believe Weird Things and his latest one called The Believing Brain. Dr. Michael Shermer is an adjunct professor at Claremont Graduate University and Chapman University. Every summer, he is one of the lead speakers at the amazing meeting put on by the James Randi Educational Foundation. In addition to those two books, he's written seven or eight others on science and skepticism. He is a monthly columnist for Scientific American, founding publisher of Skeptic Magazine, and now the man behind a new online course called Skepticism 101, How to Think Like a Scientist. It's one of the great courses available online at thegreatcourses.com. Michael Shermer, welcome to America Weekend.
Oh, good morning.
Nice to talk to you. So
thanks.
You're teaching people how to think like a scientist, or you're teaching them the scientific method, and is there a difference?
Well, teaching people how to think, period. And one of the virtues of science is that it's, through trial and error, figured out how to think about claims and put them to the test to see what's real and what's not. In essence, because all of us, as I wrote about in The Believing Brain, have these cognitive biases that cloud our judgment and that color the way we look at the world, such that we always end up finding evidence for what we already believe is true and ignore disconfirming evidence that counters what we believe is true. And everybody does that, including scientists. But science itself, as a method, sort of forces you to look for contradictory evidence and counter arguments and logical contradictions in your reasoning and that sort of thing. So what my course does is kind of outline how that happens in science and how you can apply it to your own life, like in business or marriage or just regular life or decisions of any kind.
One of the examples of the sort of thing you're talking about, I think, might be somebody who hears that a friend of theirs was in a car accident, and they say, oh, two nights ago, I dreamt that you might be in a car accident. And they don't remember all the nights they had dreams about that person that involved all sorts of other things, and nothing happened. But they remember that one, and so they go, oh, man, I must have something going on in my mind. I must have some power or something.
Exactly, right. So that's called a confirmation bias. We only remember the hits and you forget the misses. So people that go to psychics, for example, will remember the half dozen hits that the psychic got in the course of the reading, but they'll ignore the dozens and dozens of things that the psychic said that had no connection whatsoever. In science, we have to keep track of all, not only all the hits, but all the misses, and ask, is the number of hits normal for the number of misses and number of attempts made just by chance? That is, just think of a basketball player heaving up shots. You know, they're going to have a certain percentage that go in just by virtue of throwing a lot up there, and that's what psychics do. They can't actually talk to the dead. Well, actually, anybody can talk to the dead. It's getting the dead to talk back that's the hard part. but psychics can't actually read anybody. The person going to the psychic or astrologer or tarot card reader or whatever, they're doing the reading. The psychic astrologer person just asks a lot of questions, and you'll only remember the things that seem to fit you, and you'll find a way to make them fit. Again, that's how our brains are wired up, is to find ways to, you know, connect the dots and make meaningful patterns and connections in our lives.
As a scientist, Michael, I know that you have studied pseudoscience quite a bit because you've written about it in several of your books and certainly spoken about it many, many times. Do you think that here in the year 2013, this is more or less of a problem than it has been throughout American history?
Well, in the long run, it's much better now than it was, say, a century or two ago. People are less superstitious than they were certainly in the Middle Ages. But it is disconcerting that in the age of science and technology and Google and computers and spaceflight and electric cars and all the cool stuff we have, that, you know, a third to a half of Americans, you know, believe that astrology is real and aliens have landed and, you know, 9/11 was an inside job by the Bush administration, and, you know, all kinds of things that really have, they just have no evidence whatsoever. I mean, not one shred of positive evidence has come forward to show that the Bush administration actually orchestrated 9/11 instead of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And that's the kind of thing where I talk about in the course, that, you know, you have how do we evaluate evidence? What kind of evidence do we need for something to be true? You know, what are the criteria that scientists use? Because we should all apply that in all aspects of our lives to know, because it's really better to know what the world is really like than not.
But that can't be right, Michael. I read it on the internet.
That's right, the interweb. Well, the problem with the internet, of course, is, you know, is there's no fact checkers, there's no editors, there's just people can post whatever they want. You know, and I write a monthly column for Scientific American, as you mentioned, and they have fact checkers. I mean, they bother me. It bugs me that they're constantly tracking down and make me provide facts for everything claimed in my article. But I'm always grateful that they make me do it because they find mistakes that I make, even though I'm super careful.
Yep.
I always think, wow, you know, people post stuff even with good intentions on the internet and they get it wrong. What about people that don't have good intentions and post stuff, you know, of course, that we're not aware of, and that happens all the time.
Yep. I can still remember having to send out thousands of emails in response to people who sent me something that they had seen, and I would sometimes just send back Snopes.com. If you would just look these things up on Snopes.com, which debunks all of these nonsensical things there, if more people use that as a resource, and I think eventually the word kind of got out because the number of emails dropped off, but I think that Facebook became the new place where people just posted all of that stuff.
They do, absolutely. So, yeah, the Teaching Company course, I was really happy to do it because I'm a fan of theirs anyway. I've taken a lot of their courses. It's really a great way to invest your time while you're out driving or walking, hiking, cycling, whatever you're doing, working out. And it turns out Bill Gates is a big Teaching Company fan. When I met him at a dinner once, he was regaling me with all the economic courses. I mean, I asked him because he seemed to know a lot about economics, like he had actually studied it, even though he's a college dropout, you know. And he's like, oh, I learned it all in the Teaching Company courses. And, oh, I took those courses. again, it's just part of being plugged into the real world and wanting to know what life is, you know, really like, what the world's really like. And I find those Teaching Company courses really useful. So I really wanted to do one on skepticism. So Skepticism 101, that's it.
And how many hours is it?
It's 9 hours. So it's 18 30-minute lectures. And I like the 30 lecture format because I find that I live in L.A., so when you drive somewhere, it pretty much takes 30 minutes to go anywhere in L.A.
Yep.
So it's a lecture, and you can go through a course in a matter of weeks, and it's terrific. I just took a new one on economics that they have, and I find it very useful. So I was very proud to have it. It was a lot of work, but I think it was worth it.
Let me ask you about one other thing, because I see that you have one of the courses or one of the things that you talk about in this course is about cults. And there was a time in this country where we heard about cults all the time. You know, Patty Hearst was taken off by a cult. You had the Jim Jones and the Guyana massacre.
Yep.
And, you know, Heaven's Gate, those people who went off with the sneakers and went behind the comet and, you know, all of that nonsense that we went through. We don't seem to hear about those sort of things happening all that much anymore. Has that diminished?
It has, yes, encouragingly so. There seems to be fewer cults than there used to be. Although there's still, you know, there's still things out there we should be cautious about, and things that are, you know, it's hard to say if it's a cult or not. I mean, I talk about Scientology. I think it's a cult or cult-like group. Others disagree, you know, and so it just depends on what the particular claim is. You have to watch out for financial scams. Those are almost cult-like because you end up going to meetings and they kind of have you trapped in a room and try to get you to do certain things. Like there's this group called the Sovereign Citizens. They don't believe that the United States government is legitimate, and therefore they don't have to pay taxes. And there's actual people that believe this. I mean, they think, well, okay, I guess I don't have to pay taxes. The IRS is illegitimate. I remember the first time I heard this, I thought, that can't be right. No way the IRS is going to let, you know, 100 million Americans get away with not paying taxes. No way.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people that believe that, and they get aggressive. Some of them are gun-toting. You know, you get pulled over by the federal, you know, by like the California Highway Patrol or whatever state you're in. You know, they don't recognize that. And, you know, that can turn into a dangerous cult. You know, the sliding from a religion to a cult, or, you know, from a financial investment to a cult-like financial scheme, you have to be careful of that. So, again, my lecture on that shows how it slides. There's a grayscale there. It kind of slides into it. Nobody joins a cult. They join a group that they think is a good cause.
Right.
And the cult leaders, of course, don't say, by the way, you're joining a cult. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, it's this great cause.
Yeah.
But so you really have to know how to think about it independently. of what they're telling you.
Yeah, nobody has a party at their house where they say, hey, we're recruiting members for a cult. You want to come over?
It's never, exactly.
It's never like that. You're exactly right. All right, so if you want to find out more about Skepticism 101, how to think like a scientist, this new online course from Dr. Michael Shermer, you can go to thegreatcourses.com and get all the information and sign up for it there. Michael, always a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'll see you at TAM next month. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America.